The big question in business, if still so few jobs are being created, why is the unemployment rate dropping?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The nation's economy created 36,000 jobs last month. That's not even enough to keep up with population growth, let alone jumpstart the economy. And yet, the unemployment rate fell almost 0.5% in January to 9%, the lowest rate in almost 2 years. Let's try and make some sense out of these mixed labor signals. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch, and she's with us live from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So, all right, still these few jobs being created, 36,000, lackluster number again, but the unemployment rate fell almost 0.5%. What's going on here?
Well, you know, these are two different surveys. When we talk about jobs added, it's a survey of businesses. When we talk about the unemployment rate, that's a survey from households. And so really what happens is sometimes these numbers get distorted because if people just stop looking for work, they're not included in the labor pool, and that can push down the unemployment rate, but not for the right reason.
All right. So this is like watching a glacier, though. I got to admit, I mean, why is this taking so long to turn the corner on jobs?
I think the biggest issue here is that while we have seen growth over the past 18 months, it has been so inconsistent. And when you look back over almost any three-month period, you can't find three consecutive months where we've had robust growth, that where we've seen great demand from consumers and from businesses. So as a business owner, you ask yourself, well, why am I going to take the risk of adding a new job when I don't know if next month's the bad month or the beginning of the next leg down? So I think we need consistent growth. That would go a long way into making employers feel more comfortable adding to their payrolls.
Consistency is the key, eh?
Absolutely.
All right, Jill Schlesinger, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Jill. Let's do the numbers. European and Asian markets are higher at the moment, about 0.5% on average. Pipeline giant Kinder Morgan says it plans to raise more than $2 billion in what could be the biggest initial public offering for an energy company in at least a dozen years. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 20 points to end the day at 12,062. Well, in case you're interested, the banana wars have finally come to an end, bringing a long-awaited peace between Europe and the Americas. The European Parliament voted to make it easier for American banana growers to sell the fruit to Europe. Reporter Christopher Worth has more from London.
Maybe you didn't know it, but the U.S. and Europe have been at war for nearly two decades, a war over bananas. Europe buys more bananas than any other market and had offered benefits to former colonies in Africa and the Caribbean to sell their bananas to Europeans. That angered Latin American producers, many of them American-owned companies such as Dole and Chiquita. But not everyone is happy the war has ended. Arielle Walker of the Fair Trade Foundation says the decision to level the playing field may lower prices, but it will also hurt small farmers.
Our major concern is whether these price reductions will translate into improved working conditions on the farm, or whether, in fact, it will just create a race to the bottom.
In compensation, Europe's former colonies will receive around $270 million to help them adjust to the newfound peace and stiffer competition. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Voters in Missouri last year passed a new law setting tougher rules for the state's dog breeders. Now some state lawmakers have filed a bill seeking to overturn the law, which they say restricts a growth industry. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
Among dog breeders, the state of Missouri is labeled by many as the puppy mill state. It's a reputation that carries some truth. The Department of Agriculture estimates that 30% of all puppies sold in America, some 750,000 dogs, come from Missouri. Sally Rector breeds Jack Russell Terriers. She's a relatively small operation with just 8 breeding dogs.
Right there, that's Cooper. Then next to him is Ace. Then I have Reno.
Rector voted against Proposition B, also known as the Puppy Mill Cruelty Prevention Act. Among other things, the law requires dogs be given fresh food and water daily, limits the number of dogs to 50, and regulates the size of the enclosures they're kept in. Rector says the rules are vague and set a standard that might eventually apply to all animals, including livestock.
You know, who's a puppy mill? Who's got too many pigs, or who's got too many horses, or is that horse's stall big enough? I think that's just a beginning. We don't need any more government regulation.
Opponents say Prop B only passed because of an ad campaign depicting images of sick dogs from a few isolated cases. Republican State Senator Bill Stoffer says the measure won't change anything and will only hurt ethical breeders.
My concern is that we will make it impossible to legally raise dogs in the state of Missouri, and we will drive more dogs underground and create a bigger problem than we have now.
Barbara Schmitz is the director of the Humane Society of Missouri.
I think that the economic arguments are on our side.
Schmitz says the process of churning out puppies as a cash crop invariably leads breeders to cut corners.
And those corners are translating into a burden for consumers who buy sick puppies, a burden on humane societies who literally spend millions every year cleaning up after this industry.
As far as repeal is concerned, Schmitz says overturning a direct vote of the people is something all politicians should think long and hard about. On this issue, she says, the dogs have won. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, a group in Finland has claimed responsibility for stealing a statue of Ronald McDonald from a Helsinki McDonald's. The Food Liberation Army put out a YouTube video showing the ceramic fast food mascot being held hostage with a bag over its head. The captors demand the company answer questions about corporate responsibility. No comment yet from Mayor McCheese. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
With the economy on a slow rebound, one family of entrepreneurs is starting a business that looks back hundreds of years in history.
We realized that there was a need for a publication for reenactors, a high-quality publication.
I'm Bob Moon. Starting up a print magazine in the digital age? That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.